Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Afternoon delight crew in full effect. We love us some overseas PLEs because that means day drinking for PC, DJ, and AJ. And AJ loves them more probably than DJ and I do currently as he works to get on the first shift so he can come back to podcasting. But it's great to have you guys here. What a fun show. I'll just start by saying hi to DJ and give us like a 10-second reaction to the whole show.
Hey, first of all, thank you for having me back on for this. And, you know, I thought the show was a lot of fun. I think it accomplished everything it needed to. I kind of crapped the bed on my staff picks, but all in all, good show.
You went 500. Patrick went 2-4, so you didn't go last. So
okay.
Let's bring in AJ Balazs. AJ Balazs did one better than you. He went 4-2.
Oh, finally, above 500. I was crapping, guys.
Beautiful shirt he's got on, the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneer. One of my favorite tees of yours.
Look at that.
Beautiful. Shout out to Andrew and Dave and the chair shot pick for going 5-1, along with yours truly also going 5-1.
Golf clap.
Myself, the chair shot, and Dave missed on Solo Sikoa, I do believe. Andrew missed.
I don't think anybody called that, did they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was 7-4, actually.
Okay. I said solo. We'll get to it, but I did say solo win, but on a technicality instead of actually.
No, we got to clear that up now. We got to make sure that that's
We got to clarify.
That's not true. That's not what you said.
I put down solo wins, but by DQ. Because I didn't think he was going to have the championship.
That's See, exactly I called for the DQ in the main event.
They were gonna fucky finish that.
Well, I knew they were going to, but I thought we'd get to a DQ when it all settled.
Oh, you emailed them to me, didn't you?
I did email it.
Okay, you guys go ahead and discuss the show a little bit more. And go ahead, DJ, take over here for a minute while I look this up.
No, all in all, while Tony does some research here, and, you know, I play like the on-the-spot intern, Yeah, these shows have really become a lot of fun. And I know, like, when we first started doing these, they felt like non-canon kind of side roads that WWE took. But I'm glad that they've woven it into the tapestry of everything that they're doing on live TV. I think doing the finals for the men's and women's King of the Ring is a really good idea here. And we kicked off the show with Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton for the men's King of the Ring finals. And I'll be honest, this wasn't my favorite match of the show. I thought it was decent. It was a little slower paced. Them going with the early back injury with Randy and telling that story was a little interesting. But in hindsight, when I look at what they did and where I think they're going, it's probably a good idea that they didn't blow the wad in this one because I think there's more coming from these two.
Oh, I agree.
I had you down for solo. We're good. Everything's good.
Okay. Because I'm like, I'm reading this email right here. The thing that I got wrong was...
The only thing it would have changed, if I would have got that wrong and not counted, the only thing it would change is you would have had one more win. The chair shot pick would have been the same and still had lost either way.
But going back to the match, I agree where the Randy randomly hurting his back... Well, not randomly, because he has the back surgery, but he's nursing his back more and everything. I wasn't expecting that to be the whole, like, no, Cody's going to win because maybe he learned to take advantage of stuff from the Cena match at Mania, where Randy looks, it's so weird saying this, Randy did the face thing where he had to think about doing a punt. And it's so weird to me saying Randy had to think about doing something devious.
I mean, think about that, though. Think about where he is in life, right? He's more of a family father guy now than anything. Cody's closer to him than almost anybody on the roster. He's matured. He's older. And I think the whole back thing is Randy's going to get some time off here, right? Like, at some point, maybe this next feud he has or something where, you know, they're settling in. But you got to give him something. Cody can't just beat him, 100% healthy, right?
Right. And Randy's so over. Like, I think Randy, realistically, with the crowd, is more over than he ever has been. And well, so, from a booking standpoint, you have to work around that.
Yeah, and with this crowd, they were actually booing Cody. I know that they were heavy Randy, but when they were doing the, like, right before they did the hockey fight spot, yeah, and they were just trading punches, they were cheering Randy and booing Cody, which was...
Yes.
Anyone else remember when Canada was Bizarro World? Is Saudi now the Bizarro World?
It's getting there.
I don't know. I think that's just a unique situation. Cody even addressed it in his crowning address. Yeah. He was like, you know, I know how much these guys, I don't know exact words he used. I can't remember. Legends or
he said like legends and future
like
Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Legends and characters and things like that.
Mean to you guys, you know, but I guarantee you I was born for this. You know, I think it's really... It's interesting. It's something that at some point he'll turn heel, right? I don't know anytime soon because you're really, this is all about building him in a three-step process, right? Like, is it, okay, so now it's him and John at SummerSlam, right?
That so is far. How that works.
So I far, mean, unless they find a road to a triple threat.
If it's him and John at SummerSlam, do either of you think John loses the belt at SummerSlam?
No. No. I don't. I'll jump in on that. No.
I mean, we gotta immediately react, right? This just happened. This is what we're talking about.
True.
This match.
Yep.
This is the implications of the match, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You have an entire PLE named after his very first promo against
that.
Kurt Angle. Do you think he's going to
listen,
lose this at any
AJ,
point?
AJ, I was one of the first ones to come out and say, no, he's going to have it all the way through, and, you know, he doesn't need a redemption arc, but that doesn't mean I'm right, doesn't mean you're right. I mean...
And then,
do you still think Cody's the one to take it off of him? Maybe is the better question then, because does Cody get a second, third shot now?
No, I don't. I think after this, Cody's got to realize that he's got to be darker, where he has to remember he was Bullet Club Cody, where he was kind of a dickhead. So he's kind of got to, he's got to go more devious than the devious person, if that makes sense. He's got to be, what the hell is it? Like the Megamind movie where it's, oh, hey, look, there's a new hero. No, you're just under new management. Oh, we accidentally made a worse bad guy. Fuck.
Possibly. No, I don't have anything more to add as far as all that goes. It's, I don't see this ending at SummerSlam with John Cena. I think he holds it all the way to the end of the year. I really do. I think Cody is ultimately the guy? Yeah, okay. But not at SummerSlam.
All right. If anything, it's been really, really good. Excellent match, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd maybe top 10 King of the Ring finals matches all time. It could be better. It could be worse. But for initial reaction there is kind of that it was good. It wasn't the best of all of them.
Right. Being honest, I expected better from the two of them, but I think what we got was intentional.
Same, where they kind of hammered in that Randy's got the upper hand on Cody early on commentary, and then it's, oh, my back? Okay,
yeah.
Understandable. And then Randy continues to use moves that include his back, which...
Yeah. I think okay. When Cody wins it back next year, Randy's his first major feud.
Well, I mean, it'd be this year if you think he's the one to beat John Cena, unless you don't think Cena retires in December.
I don't think Cena's retiring in December.
Oh, wow, hot take here on the immediate CLE reactions, afternoon to lifestyle.
I don't think he's retiring in December.
Okay, there's a hot take. I haven't heard that one yet. I think that's interesting. I mean, you never know. I don't believe what you're saying. Do you, AJ?
I don't believe it at the moment, but it's definitely something that I'm going to steer into a little more. Because
I officially
that's...
reserve the right to change my mind at any time.
I don't believe it, but it's definitely something to like kind of bookmark where I'm like, that's a good possibility.
Earmark it.
No, it's not something that we're just going to not recognize. It's a possibility. It is. I mean, like... He could easily stick around till WrestleMania, right? Who knows?
And I think that's what we do.
Especially since 42 went out the bag and they're back in Vegas.
It was his last Royal Rumble. It was his last WrestleMania. It was his last all this stuff. I don't know. All right, we'll see.
Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, and The Undertaker retired at Manias. And, oh, wait a minute, they're back.
John's going to retire at a random PLE in December.
In his hometown, named for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to Saudi for the Royal Rumble.
Brock Lesnar. Rhea Ripley, Raquel Rodriguez. I enjoyed this one. I thought this was a really good street fight. Rhea Ripley, your winner here, DJ. We did get the interference from Roxanne Perez, which to no avail, Rhea was still the most dominant force in this match. It was fun, real good story that they played between the relationship from NXT into WWE, how like in real life these two people are really close, Rhea and Raquel.
Right. For me, this was best match of the night.
It was really
I thought both girls went out there and cooked. This was the best I've seen Raquel look in a long time. I've been pulling for her for a long time. She's had some pretty good matches with pretty good people. She has excellent matches with Rhea Ripley because she can throw Rhea around, and Rhea, to her credit, will take it.
To me, it was like Big Show and Undertaker.
Yes.
Where like Rhea is dominant over 99.9. Up, here comes Raquel. Raquel is like between Raquel and Piper Niven. I think those are the two powerhouses that are probably more powerful than Rhea Ripley in a match.
Yeah.
I'd definitely say that it's accurate. I'd probably throw Nia Jax as well in there.
Yeah, my bad. Nia too, good call. Good ad.
But as for the match, it was the best match of the night because there wasn't fuckery. It didn't feel weird, which we'll talk about fuckery and weird later on. I appreciate the fact that I still call her Roxy. I'm sorry. I watched her in ROH. I still say Roxy.
Yeah, I find myself calling her Roxy on the show every now and then.
But I like that she's actually involved and she didn't necessarily mess up Raquel. Like she wasn't the reason why Raquel lost. Raquel lost because she got beat by Rhea. It wasn't because there was too much bullshit going on. So the fact that Roxanne helped her, I think that's going to be more into like, well, you need to defend these tag titles. Yeah, I need to defend the tag titles. And Liv's hurt, so give and take.
It's funny you bring up the tag titles. We did an episode of the Big Five last night. Shout out to Rob and Dave. DJ, you were obviously missed. The blessing was given to go on without you.
Yeah.
I've been trying to give that fucking blessing for shows I didn't want to cover for a last fucking year, guy. How'd you get around it?
Here's the thing. Okay. We're going to take a little side road.
No, you're good.
Dave reached out and, I love doing that thing with you guys. I had an opportunity to meet up with an old buddy of mine, and have some drinks. And I felt bad because Dave will message everybody, hey, are we going this week? And 99.9% of the time, I'm usually the one who says I can't go this week because I'm usually just not caught up on what we're watching. So I felt bad. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to hold you guys off again. You guys go ahead and go without me. So I'm glad you guys had a good show.
It was fine. I mean, the card sucked, but we had a good time. Always good catching up with Rob. I told Rob, this is the last time you show up on a Friday night podcasting with me without alcohol. You understand, Rob? I said that to him. I told him how Andrew and I would wait for Chris, if he didn't have alcohol, to go run to the liquor store and come back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We were, like, about to hit record, and, like, he wasn't drinking. And Andrew and I were like, are you not going to have a drink tonight? And he's like, I didn't have time. We're like, how long is it going to take you? He's like, probably like 10, 12. Bye.
That's like the time we put the whole podcast on hold because Tony had to run out and you had to get a dongle or something, didn't you?
Yes, I lost the dongle to these very headsets. So I go buy some, come back. We get done podcasting and I go to like change into like my pajama pants. And I recorded the night before, and what did I do the night before? I took the dongle and stuck it in the pocket of my pajama pants instead of putting it where it goes. So there you go, a little behind-the-scenes Chairshot Radio Network craziness from three of the Chairshot staff pickers right here. So let's get back to that card. Dave brought up the fact that there's rumblings. I don't see it happen anytime soon, considering we got a Women's Evolution pay-per-view coming up, but that this tag, the whole women's tag division could be by the wayside sooner than later.
I mean, I could see it. Who right now is going to be in this tag division other than Piper Niven and Alba Fire, Kaylee Ray? Like, who else?
I have an idea for the women's tag division, and it's to encompass all the brands underneath NXT as well. AAA, Evolve, right?
Evolve, yeah. LFG.
Why not? Like, those tag titles for the women are, if you're in a WWE territory, no matter what the level is, whether it's A-Ball, AA, AAA, NXT, WWE.
Euro-Ball, so it's going to be TNA and
I mean,
and
like,
all
yeah, all of that stuff, right? TNA, too, like, AAA. Ooh. Like, I mean, that, I think, could help the division out because you're putting over people outside of your bubble and experiencing, letting them get experience inside your bubble. So if they come in, they can be successful. And then people inside the bubble, they have an opportunity to do something and show out around the world. Look at what the Garzas, they just won the AAA men's tag team titles, right? At Triple Mania.
Yeah. Originally that was the plan with the women's tag team division. It wasn't as grand a scale as you're talking, but they were supposed to be defended on all three brands. And depending on who held those belts, they were. Well, the problem is, and we've talked about this at length with the women in general, when the shows are missing the upper level talent, like a Charlotte, like an Asuka, like an Alexa Bliss, the fans, and this is where I lay some of this on the fans, they're not tuning in for the undercard of women, you know, and that's a shame because they've got some incredible talent. Like it's crickets for Candice LeRae and Zelina Vega and things like that when they're putting in incredible work. And then the real women's tag teams, like the women who were dedicated to this, hey, we're a tag team, they fucking either broke them up or released them all. They released Kayden and Katana. They released Indy Hartwell, who was teaming with Candice LeRae. They released the one half of the Witches. So you know, you had legitimate established teams that could have held these tag team championship belts.
When you say the Witches, do you mean Isla and Elba?
Isla and Elba. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. You know, they released, what was it? Which one did they release?
I thought
Gigi. They also released Gigi. Because I think that's where Tunney was going.
No, one of them is in the Secret Hervis. Which was in the Secret Hervis?
Alba.
Alba Fire's there. Isla Dawn is the one they released.
Yes.
But yeah, they had a good thing going with Gigi and Tatum Paxley with Shotzi. I mean, that was believable and something that they could have brought up to the main roster.
And then they got rid of Gigi and Shotzi.
They got rid of Gigi and Shotzi. So it's like, I don't think they give a fuck all about the women's tag team championships, to be honest with you.
Is it any surprise considering they really don't give a shit about the men's tag team titles either?
But they're doing more with the men's tag team championships on SmackDown. Like, the Raw ones are almost useless, but they've had some hot fire matches on SmackDown.
Oh,
between the Profits and DIY and the Machine Guns.
Did you see we're getting a 2-hour earlier start time for Raw on Monday?
Yeah, for Pittsburgh. Yep.
Really? Oh,
6
wow.
Eastern.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. I'm old. I go to bed early. I love it.
Yes. I can watch the whole show.
Yes.
We're kind of wandering off the path here, guys.
Oh, that's
just
okay.
A little
it's
bit.
Not a big deal. All right. Yeah. Hey, let's get
it's almost
to...
like it's a chair shot podcast.
Hey, it very much is.
No shit. Sammy
we take
Dean.
11 side roads and 3 detours.
Yeah.
The
closest pick here of the entire card, 6-5, and it was the difference between the chair shot going 5-1 and 4-2. Was for Sami Zayn. I had no idea who to pick here. And I try not to figure out who's going to be the chair shot pick winner. But I had put this match first without picking it on my rundown. And I went, oh shit, I'm picking the chair shot pick here as well. I was like, motherfucker. Literally, I said, I don't know. Either person could have won there. I'm glad Karrion Kross is getting over. It seemed like he was pretty over once his music was started banging, AJ.
Just a little bit. The one thing I've noticed when it comes to the Saudi crowd is unless they know the person, it is going to primarily be crickets. Like, I didn't really see too much excitement other than, you know, the people that they knew.
When he turned to the crowd and, like, the heavy metal riff started kicking into his song after...
Oh, yeah, after Scarlett has fallen prey.
That's when they got excited. And I think that's because they enjoyed the entrance. They enjoyed the fallen prey. I think that's finally getting over.
Yeah, which I'm happy for because that was, like, that was one of the main things that made Kross interesting in NXT when he was there. But one other thing that I noticed... When did he get so yoked? Like, he looked bigger than usual.
He looked fat to me today.
Like, he's usually kind of slender for the judo stuff, but I saw him and I'm like, boy's bulking. Not used to this.
Yeah, he's in the bulking phase. Yeah.
But it was a good match. I liked it a lot. It actually showed a little more of the sadistic side of Karrion Kross, which... I watched him when he was, like, before even TNA, when he was Killer Kross still. He was good. He was psychotic. Right now, he's at about, like, a 5 than what he usually is at, like, a 10 anywhere else, where he will use Saito's and then immediately put you in the Kross jacket. Or he'll use the Kross hammer. I forgot that he actually had that as a move, but... Sammy won. I don't know if that's supposed to be feel goody or not, because he didn't really admit that he was a liar or anything. It didn't. It felt weird because it didn't carry into the story, other than Karrion just slapping him around saying, "Admit you're a liar," and Sammy never did.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match very much, and this felt like to me, because Karrion Kross is somebody we've discussed on the Mindless Wrestling podcast quite a bit. This dude has everything. He's got a look, he's got a good theme, he's got a good entrance, and then the bell rings. And for me, it has always been about the bell to bell, and it's like the entrance character and the person in the ring were two totally different people. For me, just in the WWE presentation, I've only had limited exposure to him outside of WWE. But for me, it just didn't feel like what came to the ring translated into what was in the ring. It was like I said, two separate personalities in there. This was probably the first real big match that I was engaged with him in. That reeled me in, kept me, held me, and made me want to see, okay, what's this guy going to do next? It's going to be interesting to see what happens to him over the next few months. Word on the street. There's one little side thing with him that I wanted to touch on. But it's going to be interesting because I guess his contract is due up this year. I was telling my friends in a separate chat, I think he's quietly re-signed, and I think he's due for something once the dust clears and we get past SummerSlam. I think they're going to start doing more meaningful stuff with him. Did you guys see on the social media apps how the report was going out that he wasn't getting pushed because he doesn't like to take back bumps? Did you guys see that one?
I didn't see that.
It was this stupid little thing that came around in the last 24, 48 hours. One of the reasons Karrion Kross hasn't been pushed is because he doesn't like to take back bumps. And he addressed that. One little slick thing that I noticed in the beginning of the match, he had gone to the outside and Sammy hit him with like a sliding dropkick or something. And he took this ridiculous, like over dramatic back bump at the beginning of the match, and it was a little tiny little thing that I caught that I kind of dug.
It makes me happy and it makes me sad at the same time. It makes me happy that like he's like fuck you guys, and then it makes me sad that he's listening to those people. You know what I mean?
I love the petty, but you hate the petty. They're all dialed in.
I famously have not enjoyed Karrion Kross in NXT or in early on the main roster, and I've said over the last couple months he's been growing on me. He's finally coming into his own and realizing how to be successful in WWE. This is something that is just it's different than anything else. Like, I know who trained this guy. I've interviewed him a dozen fucking times. It's Sin Bodhi, by the way. Like, I've heard about him since, like, he was not even in NXT yet. So, you know, Greg's had him, I believe, in IZW before everything started getting crazy for him and moving up the ladder. But I'm happy for him. I think this is the most over he's ever been, and I agree with DJ. Like, yeah, I hope he is. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Like, the same way Sammy and KO weren't going anywhere because they're in the best storylines. Like, dude's been in a storyline with Sammy's fucking...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Zane, like, that's how you get over. That's the start. I agree with you, DJ, 100%. Should we move on to the next match? It's a fun one.
Fun is an operative word.
DJ, would you like to say who the newly introduced member of Solo's Bloodline, the name that was said on social media that you shared with us? Because not only did Tongaloa come back, what did we got? You don't remember? Do you want me to just say it?
Well, no, I know it. I want to give credit because as much as I hate doing that, I don't want to just like throw it. I don't want to pretend it was my work.
Oh, I'm sure 100 other people said the same thing. Who cares?
Yeah. So, yeah, the WrestleMania threw out there, they got to name him Tala Tonga.
Tala Tonga.
Tala Tonga.
AJ, who is actually Tala Tonga?
Tala Tonga is the younger brother of Tama and Tongaloa, Hukalau.
There you go.
I'm glad you knew how to pronounce that.
But now, they did not say
his
name.
Of course I'm a blast. I need to know Japanese.
They
stuff.
Did not say his name on the broadcast because
they
I
did
think
not.
They're like, they, listen.
Oh, he's getting rebranded.
No one's seen JC Mateo before, let me tell you that.
Yeah, we're doing the old WWE. You didn't exist anywhere else but here. We'll mention your past accolades, but...
This is the one I got wrong. Rob called this last night in recording the Big Five and said, I'm going to believe the dirt sheets, and that's why that he's showing up, and that's why Solo wins. And shout out to Rob. He called the whole thing. You'll hear that in an upcoming episode. This is the one I got wrong. This is the one the chair shot pick got wrong. AJ... You got it right, but you kind of didn't.
Through a technicality.
Yeah, you got a hash mark, and that's about it. No respect.
Yeah, I got an asterisk. I'm not gonna lie, it was an asterisk because I thought Solo was going to win through just fuckery that happens, and we did get fuckery, but it was clean fuckery? Question mark. I guess that's how that works. It was a pretty good match. I'm not gonna lie. It was just until I the one thing I'm going to appreciate on Tongaloa here is he did a magic killer without needing Tama.
Yeah.
I don't know, because he actually propped him on the top rope, and I'm like, is that going to be a magic killer? Wait a minute, wait, what? He did it. So I guess if he ever goes single, he has a way to do it.
If you're still watching WWE Network, they're showing replaying it right now. Yeah, he hooks him underneath. Jacob also does an excellent job of grabbing his right side around his waist and hooking that.
Yeah.
Jacob basically lays himself down there.
Yeah.
He he's so good. Oh, Jacob, like, God, Jacob's so fucking good,
dude,
man.
Dude, here, hold on. Yeah, let's, we gotta. You know what I mean?
All gas, world break.
No brakes.
World title before it's all said and done, at least one for Jacob Fatu?
I can see it.
I hope so, so badly.
I don't know.
I think there's a world we live in now where you can see that.
It better come sooner rather than later. I've interviewed the man. He deserves it. Dude's an angel outside of the ring, but in the ring, God, I do not want to be in an alleyway with him.
DJ, what do you see coming for this, like, bloodline version, because we're bulking this up now. Tom has got to be on his way back. AJ, can you find out when Tom's coming back while DJ gives us a
break? Yes, I can.
That would make it five, and that's your war games. That's one of your war games teams then, if it's five of those.
It's one of your war games teams, but you got to figure who's coming out to help Jacob. You got Jimmy, and I. There was an early prediction in one of my chats. I think Jimmy Uso takes the U.S. Championship off of Solo Sikoa. I think those guys. I think that little collection of people is going to kick that thing around for probably the next year. But like I said, the bigger question, who's going to come out beside them? Because they're still outnumbered, even if Jimmy comes back. So who's coming out to help, you know, Jacob and Jimmy?
Jay?
It's going to get interesting.
Jay?
Possibly.
Roman?
Jay and Roman?
Yeah.
Well, see, Roman's already beat Solo for the tribal chief and the Ulafala, so Roman's kind of closed that door. He's like, oh, you idiots keep...
I know.
Yeah, but when you get Jimmy and Jay, you're probably going to get Sammy in there because he's Sammy Oos. And it's like, you know who we got to call, though?
Yeah.
OTC.
Ghostbusters. Oh, sorry. I got that wrong. Got that wrong. Fucking A, 5-2.
Can you imagine the Samoan Ghostbusters right now? Oh, my God. Make that a tag team name. The Samoan Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Don't let our Ula. I hate when our Ula. Yeah, don't.
The Head Shrinkers. Ghostbusters.
Don't tangle the Ulafalas. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the interference. I mean, Solo called the match. You could see it. And most matches are better when the heel calls it.
Yes.
But I think this is the beginning for Solo. We've slept on him a little bit too.
He's good. Like, he's really good.
He's on right now giving an interview with, Byron and, oh my, my 1A Jackie Redmond right there, although she's got a ring now, damn it.
Somebody locked it down.
Good for somebody. Somebody's having fun. Nah. Dead ass. Hey, oh, speaking of that, is there any chance we were going to get a drop-in from Rusty Dad Assington today?
I don't know. Rusty is currently nursing a hangover, so probably not.
Rusty, okay, Rusty's only for night shows. I understand. No afternoon delay.
Rusty is an after dark. He's chair shot after dark.
As much as Rusty is like a sexual specialist, he does not have a lot of experience in afternoon delight, considering he's sleeping during the day, right?
That's right, right. He's a night shift guy.
Okay. Guys, Jade Cargill in all white. Yeah.
My God. Yes.
Now, DJ, was that the sound that you wanted to make, or?
I knew she was winning when she came out in all white.
Yeah, with the whole story, they leaned all the way into the Aurora Monroe Storm gimmick, all the way in. Like, you didn't even hide it.
No, because in the best part about it, because Mrs. doesn't really watch wrestling that much unless it's on my other monitor. And she goes, yeah, Storm's winning this. And I'm like, and she goes, what's her name again? Nah, it doesn't matter. It's Storm.
It's Storm. Yeah. Somebody tell Feige, pick up the phone, call that girl. It's a no-brainer at this point.
I mean, she should be. I mean, she really, like, if they're, honestly, she should be Storm when they get to that point in introducing the mutants. Did they cast Storm yet, though?
I don't think they have. I don't think they've really cast anybody yet.
Well, wasn't it Holly? Good. It was Holly Berry, wasn't it?
It was Holly Berry.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah. And then I don't know who played her in the younger version in the like the reboot to the X-Men First Class and on.
Yeah.
There was a girl who was in at least one of them, Plan. I forget her name. But this she looked incredible. Let's start there. The match was good. You know, Asuka obviously, you know, carried a lot of the weight here. But there was a lot of question marks in the air with Jade Cargill for the first 6 months to a year. You know, is she going to pick this up? Is she going to be able to hold herself up to the standard that WWE, you know, sets for its talent? And I think she's coming along. You know, she had some missteps early on, very obvious that she had only progressed to a certain point. She listens very well in that ring. And her ring awareness, her ring presence, her timing has improved so much. And it's been a joy to watch her progression. And this match was, you know, a next evolution of that growth for her. I hated to see Asuka lose. Asuka's probably my favorite women's wrestler, if not of all time, at least of the last 10 years. And to see her come back after 13 months off, get right to the finish line with the Queen of the Ring and then lose, you know, I'm taking some lumps as an Asuka fan, but it's Jade Cargill. There's no shame in that, man.
Before you go, AJ, I just want to address what DJ just said, because, man, Asuka winning here could have been awesome, too. Like, I would not have had a problem with that, especially, like, you know, you have Io keep the belt, and that's your match. That's a huge fucking match. But at the same time, the women's careers progress so much faster than the men's. And then the fact that she's already kind of at this place where she didn't really need it. Does she want it?
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like these mid-card titles for Charlotte. Does she need them? Absolutely not. Does she want them? Probably wants to be involved like Becky and Bayley are. Like, it's a bucket list thing. But to put Jade over with Asuka was even bigger, right? Like you said. So I agree.
Yeah, you have Asuka with all the accolades that she has. She doesn't necessarily need to win it. I'm in the same boat as DJ, where I wanted Asuka to win more than Jade. Jade has been learning. She's been better. She went from botching a springboard dropkick during a tag title match to making sure that she looks good in the ring for Queen of the Ring finals.
Yeah.
The only thing that I could be like the curmudgeon nitpick is Asuka put you in an arm bar and a crossface chicken wing. Sell the arm a little more.
Yeah. Like,
because as soon as that happened, she immediately did the finish, and I'm like, you could have sold it just a little bit.
Only other critique I would give with her, and this is in the business, they it's called dying on someone. Somebody hits you with something, and you oversell it. And actually, Stone Cold Steve Austin had this critique of Roman Reigns early on. Roman was giving people way too much. Jade Cargill is goddamn 6 foot tall and all muscle. There's no way she should, as much as I love Asuka, and Asuka is a powerhouse, she's a striker, she's got all that. I think she was giving a little too much. Yes, sell the arm because it's a arm bar, you know, but at the same time, there were certain points where Jade was just dying on her a little bit and giving her a little too much, given the size difference between the two. But again, all part of a learning process, nothing that I'm going to pick apart with her. And I think, as we jokingly referred to, you know, casting her as Storm in the X-Men, I think there's a plan for Jade Cargill beyond WWE, and it's crossover media appeal.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. She has the look. She is an attractive woman.
She's charismatic.
She is a bodybuilder. Like, I know with the outfit that we saw, you couldn't really see it because Saudi, but she is athletic. She is fit. She is strong.
Yep.
You can push her multimedia, like you said. She can go into DC movies with Cena when he's Peacemaker, and he does a little more Peacemaker.
No,
or
we want
even
her in Marvel.
Marvel cause Storm.
Yep.
Marvel cause Storm, so with Drax. But
he retired.
Regardless. You know what I mean? Asshole. But the reason why I'm pretty sure we all knew Jade was going to win this wasn't because she was an all-white. Not because Tunney picked her. It's because Naomi's missed Money in the Bank. We got to milk this story a little more,
yep.
Which I'm not poo-pooing. But since you had Naomi as Miss Money in the Bank, Queen of the Ring, Jade Cargill. Okay, that's who's winning this.
Yep.
Don't care who else sees it. I even told Tunney this when I was on DWI last time. It was still four women left, and I went, it's got to be Jade Cargill. Whoever she's facing is just fodder.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to address one of the biggest main events we've had in a long time, I would say. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This is Afternoon Delight Crew right here on Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Don't forget, follow DJ at The Mindless Pod, follow AJ at Phenomenal AJB, follow me at PC Tunny, and don't forget to follow the Chairshot at Chairshot Media, most active right there on X.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back. The Afternoon Delight crew is delighted to review another Afternoon PLE right here, Night of Champions. I would say... 7. I'd give it a 7. That's good. That's a good score to me. Like, it was a good pay-per-view. It was good. DJ?
Yeah, I'd say 7 is about where my head was. It was a good pay-per-view. It was a good, at 3 hours well spent. Yeah.
AJ?
I'll say it's a good pay-per-view, but I'll be the German judge and say 6.
All right.
Just because there are times where I'm just like, this kind of fell a little flat. This was a little funky, and this is coming from the funky trickster.
Well, then give us your thoughts on the match we had with John Cena and CM Punk, AJ. Tons of interference. I enjoyed the match before the interference, and I enjoyed the interference, and I enjoyed the match after the interference. How about you?
I loved the match before the interference. They did callbacks. They did everything. They threw everything in the kitchen sink, and then surprisingly, with the interference, the kitchen sink turned into Seth Rollins and company. Did they ever get a name? I don't think I ever heard it, if they have a faction name or it's just Seth Rollins' dogs. But they went out. Penta came out because he's been having issues with them. Sammy came out because he's been having issues with them. And
oh, their name is Tala Tonga.
Tala Tonga? All right. Just shaking my damn head. Anyway, with the interference, Rollins tries to cash in, brings in Little Nate, and I guess, do we need like a Little Cena now? Because Cena just absolutely...
Oh my God, did he body
he
Little Nate or what?
Or Bond. He did a pounce.
I was like, holy shit, that's a 60-something-year-old man you just drilled through, sir.
He fucking bounced him.
I feel like Lil Nate came up to him in the back and gave him this talk like, you better
give it to me.
You better fucking hit me, asshole. I'm gonna fuck.
Lay it on
like thick. I've heard he's a fiery guy.
Do you know
guy,
who my dad is? Lay it on thick. Do you know who my dad is? But I appreciated the interference. It made sense. Especially Rollins on his vendetta of, if I don't want to see Punk be successful ever, so go fuck yourself. And Cena showing that he's still super Cena, but he needs to, he's like, no, I gotta be the bad guy. I'm gonna help Punk because this is detrimental to me, and now we're working together. Handshake, blank stare into the camera. That doesn't work because Punk knows better. He's done this. This isn't AEW. He knows better.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun with this one. And it's as a wrestling match, it was good to see those guys turn back the clock. Both of them still got it. They had a lot of good callbacks. As much as I've always thought that Randy Orton and John Cena were that generation's Hogan and Savage, Rock and Austin, Randy and Punk have got to be 1A and 1B for John Cena opponents in the history of his career.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Why is Edge in AEW right now? Because SummerSlam should be John Cena against Edge, and then you delay Cody even more. Like, that's the third guy. It's Randy. Actually, it was Edge, then it was Randy, and then it was Punk. Those are his three big, and I even posted on X the other night about it. Like, how
that's his rogues gallery.
Like, yeah, how fucking pissed are both John and Adam that they can't do this?
Yeah, we're probably in the final months of John Cena's run, allegedly.
I would say Edge is his biggest rival.
Yeah, oh, I can't.
John Cena absolutely cemented Edge as a main eventer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is there
the bad guy.
Do we live in a world where it's possible to... This is the match in Boston?
No, because he's still... I think he's got another year or so on his AEW contract, and Tony's not letting Adam, the Rated R, Edgeland, Supercope leave. It's not happening.
Yeah, as much as I would love to see it, as much as it works, no.
Yeah, I agree.
It's too bad. It's not going to happen. That's why they have Truth.
It's really
That's why they
bad.
Put Truth instead. Truth was the fourth musketeer.
No, they yeah. put
he
Truth
was,
in
he was D'Artagnan.
They put Truth in because John wanted it. And
I know
they
can
make more money, and it was I that
the
was all
fans
like,
asked
listen,
for it, Tony.
This was yeah,
we
okay,
asked
yeah,
for it.
Sure,
it was a
yeah,
grassroots movement,
right?
Tony.
We didn't plan. This was so
movement.
Unplanned. Like the biggest farce is that WWE is telling you that they do this week to week, and you fucking retards believe it. You know, you don't call mentally challenged people retards. You call your friends retards when they act mentally challenged. That's what you do. Okay, so get off my fucking porch.
You're not wrong.
Get off my fucking porch.
Guys, well, we just isolated our last 11 listeners, so
that's whatever. It's where we're at. Who gives a shit?
Should we do the famous Dusty promo in NWA TNA then?
No, we should not. We should not, AJ. We should not. Okay, maybe you should stay on nice. God damn it.
So,
no, I'm kidding. I can't. I'm kidding. I can't. No, don't do that and get back the days. I'm waiting.
No, seriously. I only get to see AJ like once every 6 months.
Right. Well, we got two more of these coming up before Survivor Series. So there we
yeah.
go.
So here's a question for you guys. Do you think that CM Punk and Seth Rollins settle this at Hell in a Cell? Like, do you think that's the final between these two?
I think they're setting this up for Punk to beat Rollins at WrestleMania for the title.
I that as well.
I like it. I think I like that better.
He gets a proper main event, not just...
I hear, well, damn.
I like the three-way match. It was too hokey for me. It's like, give him the proper match, because I
Yeah, but
they
made the best of it, man. That match was awesome.
I know. And
that match was so damn good.
The thing I hate the most is I'm rooting for Punk.
I was
on the Jason Curmudgeon wagon of fuck Punk, don't give him anything, he's an asshole too, Punk life,
dude,
drug free.
Punk life greater
we
than
we don't have time.
Punk life way greater than Cena pipe bomb, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we don't have enough time, but there's really a discussion that I would like to have about CM Punk and where he's at now versus where he was 10 years ago.
Oh yeah, we can do like, do a special.
Maturity has maturity and perspective has done wonders for that dude.
We talked about
that's
that,
a talk I'd like to have one day.
We talked about that last night too. Like the guy wants to stick around and be in charge of like creative and run NXT maybe or something like that. I say instead of that, why don't you just make him the executive producer of everything women's division, from SmackDown and Raw all the way down to everything involved with WWE. Like that guy can produce women and talk to women. He's kind of like I compared him to like a Mick Foley. Women feel comfortable around him because they know
right.
they're not he's
not
safe. He's not hitting on them like Mick wasn't either. Like
yeah.
First of all, they weren't attracted to Mick, and then second of all, they seen Mick's wife and were like, "Holy shit, okay." Like we're talking to a safe stud here, and the same thing is with right. Punk is like, yeah, he's cool, he's great. He's semi flirty in a sweet way, but his wife is the legend they all respect the most, right?
I think an awesome women's division would have CM Punk and Gail Kim at head of creative.
If you haven't watched Something's Burning, Bert Kreischer on YouTube, you can watch it for free. It's his cooking show, and he just has famous guests. Gail Kim's married to Robert Irvine, who is a former Great Britain military man and one of the best chefs in the world. And those two on there tell some great stories. Go watch that on YouTube. You're welcome. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Let's go around the horn. AJ, we'll start with you. Tell everybody where they can find you. And then give us your last thought on everything we had today.
Well, you can follow me at Phenomenal AJB, AJB in all caps. I'm pretty sure Tony said that a little bit earlier, but I'll reiterate and remind you. Everything from today, it moves stories forward, no pun intended, with the King of the Ring, Cody Rhodes. He gets his rematch against Cena. Maybe he learned a little to be a little more devious, a little more dark, I guess is the right word. We got Judgment Day moving along. Roxanne's probably going to officially be in because we don't have a Liv to say no. Sammy and Karrion, I loved what they did. Karrion, he needs more TV time. He has been showing Killer Cross more than Karrion Cross, and I appreciate that. If you haven't seen anything Killer Cross, go try to find some stuff. TNA, AAA, a bunch of different stuff you could find. Even MLW, I believe he was in, off the top of my head. Solo winning, I don't like it just because I always say, hey, I got to interview Jacob, so not that match. Jade winning, perfect, love it, furthering Naomi. And John Cena wins, lol.
Okay, You're DJ, welcome. Without going over the whole fucking card again, why don't you give your last thought and where the people can find you? God damn it, AJ.
You can find me at The Mindless Pod. Myself, Rob, and Jason can be found on all your favorite podcasting platforms, as well as thechairshot.com and The Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Also, we invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options that are available from all of your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts. Go check them out. Pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you. If you spend a couple bucks more and pick one up in soft style, that is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. My final thoughts on Night of Champions, I thought the whole show rocked. Again, a solid 7, had a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming over the summer as we head into SummerSlam.
I love these shows right after the PLEs. They're very fun. The three of us get to digest and let it out right away. Chairshot Radio Network, all over your favorite streaming platforms. There's something for you there, I guarantee it. Tell a friend, make a friend. Goodbye.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's UPWORK.com/SAVE. Upwork.com/save.